The ultimate experience of a human being is to die to everything that everybody thought, felt and experienced before. That is something which cannot be accomplished through any act of volition or effort. Otherwise you cannot come into your own. And once you come into your own, it is not something that has evolved from the simple into the complex. But that situation accepts that things are so simple and they leave them at that. And that has no value for us because that cannot be fitted into the value system. And it has no value for the society. We come to terms with the fact that we, the human being, is no different from the rest of the species on this planet. It's the expression of the same life energy. Whether it is a human being or the mosquito that is sucking our blood or a garden slug out there, they are all the expressions of the same life. I am not talking in terms of the Vedantic stuff, the oneness of life, the unity of life. The human being cannot be separated from the rest of life around him. It's an integral part of the whole. That is where the whole mischief started, when somehow the self-consciousness occurred in the human species. It separated itself, and that gave room to the invention of every belief, every fantasy, and the idea that we are created for some nobler and grander purpose than all the other species is responsible for what is happening on this planet. That is responsible for all the ecological problems. So everything we discover in nature will be used to destroy the very thing that we are trying to fight and save. It sounds as a very cynical statement, but that is the situation in which we all find ourselves in. Is there anything that we can do to reverse it, let alone save it, is anybody's guess. First of all, we assume, to go back to your question, that there is an evolution, you see. And there may not be any evolution at all. It is we who fix a point and another point and try to link up these two things and say that this has evolved out of that. It is obvious that the simple becomes complex. See, that we call evolution. But when once you arrive at a point where the complex has taken over the whole thing and tries to control everything, the thing that is so simple cannot be accepted by us. It's so simple that the complex structure is not ready to accept it.
If our existence doesn't have much of a meaning, there's no meaning in this.
Why should there be any meaning? Why should there be any meaning? Why should there be any plan in the universe? It is very comforting to think that there is a meaning, that there is a purpose, that the whole thing is moved progressively in the direction of achieving some ultimate goal. So the impossibility of finding out the reality of things which we have taken for granted makes us believe that there is an ultimate reality. And the invention of that ultimate reality has made it difficult for us to come to terms with this reality. Then you discover that the very thing which we have taken for granted, the reality that we have taken for granted, has no way of helping us to understand anything, when we have no way of experiencing the reality of anything. So obviously we do not see any meaning in our life. And what we are trying to do is to find out if there is any meaning in our living. See, life and living are two different things. The nature of life, nobody knows. What it is, we don't know. You have no way of knowing it. You can define life, and the scientists are trying to find out what this is all about. But so far they have not come up with any satisfactory answers. They are providing us with a bunch of definitions. They are talking of the reality of the universe. And that is no different from what the metaphysicians everlastingly discussed and handed down to us a lot of all kinds of theories. So the scientific theories are no different from the theories that we have developed through centuries. Our admiration and faith in the scientists rests on the fact that what they have discovered has helped us to create this technological advantage. That's the only thing that we have. And all the progress that we are, I don't know why I'm talking about, the progress that we are proud of is not really a progress. The simple has become the complex. And there is no reason for us to be proud of the progress. I'm not discounting or brushing aside the progress we have made. I always give the example of the travel. You see, first time when I flew from New York to London or the other way around, it took almost 22 hours. A few years after, 18 hours, 12 hours, and then 6 hours. And now with the Concords in service, we are able to do it in 3 hours. Very soon, if we put the hypersonic planes into service, we'll be able to do it in 1.5 hours. All this is no doubt progress. I'm limiting it to this specific example of travel, you see. And how it has become very easy for us to travel. But how many planes we are using to destroy life and property. So do you call this progress? I'm not saying that we should turn the clock back and then live the way we lived in our times, in my own time where I grew up. We had only a bullock cart, not even a horse carriage. Now they have speedy cars, luxury cars in the same place where I grew up. So all this is no doubt progress, but what is there to be proud of progress? You see, it may be possible for me to cover a distance in 1.5 hours, and what do I do with that? You see, the time saved. And at the same time, all the laws that we have discovered are used by us to destroy the very thing that we depend upon. That's all that I'm saying. So the ecological problems cannot be solved that way. That's the reason why anybody who wants to talk about the ecology, I tell him, shoot those bastards on site and at site. They're not really interested in solving the problems of ecology. You can have a Save the Planet Day. They had it in the United States. Boy, it was a media hype. The next day everybody forgot about that. And my point is that to be concerned about this is not really based upon our demand to do something about it. See, there's not much that we can do about it. This human species that has survived for millions and millions of years can still survive in any adverse circumstances that we will create through our ignorance, our stupidity. You know, a few species might go, so what? If what they say is true, what we have on this planet, the animal species, 95% of the animal species that existed before us are not there anymore. And the species, the animal life, if you take into consideration, only 0.5% is what we have today. And what makes us think that the human species is so important? Why is it so important? That's because we think that, as I said, that the whole thing is created for our benefit. And we have one thing called thinking, you see, the thought. Thought is born out of this self-consciousness which occurred somewhere. And why it occurred, when it occurred, that's not our question. It is there, and out of that the thought is born. The thought is a very destructive instrument. It's a very violent thing. It is interested in protecting itself. Anything that is born out of thought is destructive. So religion was born out of this divided state of consciousness. And every instrument we have has come out of that, see, the thinking, religious thinking. All the political systems and ideologies have come out of the same religious thinking of man. There's not much difference. We may condemn and destroy religious institutions, but the political institutions are nothing but the abortive outgrowth of the same religious institutions. So whether it is a scientific discovery or religious thinking or anything we do to create peace in this world is born out of the same thought. It is the reason why I say it is fascist in its birth, in its content, and in its expression and action.
What is the alternative?
There is no alternative. There is no alternative. Thought cannot free us from thought. So far, you see, it does not mean that we should develop a new line of thinking, use thought for peaceful purposes, but nothing good can ever come out of thought. In that way, we are doomed. See, this is not my doom song, and I don't think there is anything that we can do to reverse it. The answer to that is not in the thinking of man, as I see it. I may be wrong, but this whole thinking has come out of some neurological disorder in the brain. Why there was a neurological disorder in the human brain, I cannot say. One of these days, they will help us to find out why there is a neurological disorder. So anything that comes out of that is very destructive. The one basic question which we have to ask for ourselves is, what sort of a human being we want? For centuries, whether it is Oriental culture or Occidental culture, we have placed before ourselves the model of a perfect being. Perfect being is the model of the spiritual teachers, whether it is Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad or the great teachers of India. And this culture forces us all to fit into that framework and be like them. It is just impossible to be like by them. So everything that we are doing is to fit ourselves into that framework, but we never question that framework. And if anything is to be changed, and if we have to have a new kind of a human being, it is not through thinking, but through some changes in the chemistry of the human body. We are not ready for that kind of a thing. And one of these days we have to set in for that, but we have to find out what kind of a human being we want. The way we are going, I don't see there is any future for us. So what? If the human species is destroyed, so what? But unfortunately, we take every form of life on this planet with us. As far as the planet is concerned, it is not interested in the species as they are today. And if everything is destroyed, they will be recycled by nature. And its only interest is to increase the level of energy on this planet. It's not interested whether we survive or not. It's of no interest. It is our problem. And I don't see how through thinking we can solve our problems. It may sound very pessimistic and very cynical, but we have to face this situation. No answers can come out of our thinking to solve our problems. That is why what is happening in Russia and other countries, it is not for the interests of mankind that the way the things are going in Russia. Because they have this system, the political system, communism or whatever you want to call, has failed there. And what they should do there, if they have come to terms with the fact that that system has failed, they have to find answers in that framework and not look to democracy, freedom and religious thinking of man. It has failed us all. The most disastrous thing that would happen in Russia is that all these people will step in there, vacuum created, and they want to revive these revivalists, go there everywhere and try to take advantage of the situation. That would not solve the problem, but system may have failed. You can't say that the system in America and in Western countries is a wonderful thing. Maybe it's one of degree. I don't see, I have lived so many years in America, I don't think America is a land of the free and the home of the brave. Not at all. But that system is not going to help Russia at all. So you cannot divide our problems into economic problems, into political problems, into religious problems. It is very convenient for students in the university to separate them and to study. The specialization is going too fast that we are not able to keep pace with it. Even if you take the subject of mathematics, there are so many different kinds of studies in mathematics. A brother of mine is considered to be an authority on some kind of a mathematics. I have never heard of that, you see. Optimum, combinatorial optimum or some kind of twisted phrases they use. I don't even understand that. I was looking at these girls and what they are studying today. I did physics, what we consider to be an advanced physics in my time, compared to what they are studying today is elementary. It's growing so fast that we are not able to keep pace with it. Going back to the question, why should there be meaning? I went about in a roundabout way to come back to the question, what is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? Life, we leave that alone. We don't know anything. Nobody knows anything about life. The living has become a problem. We do not see any meaning in this life. We do not see any purpose in this life. And some joker has suggested that there is a meaning in life, that there is a purpose in life. Somebody was asking me a question, why were we born? What do you expect? We were born, my father screwed my mother. I'm sorry to put it in such a crude language, and here I am. So what is the point in sitting and trying to find out what is the meaning, what is the purpose of life? It is a futile exercise to sit and discuss everlastingly. That is not going to solve the problem of living in this world. It's not an easy thing. And you have to fight. You have to be ambitious. You have to be competitive in this world. And what's the point in these jokers telling us you don't free yourself from ambition? Free yourself. How can you survive in this world? There is no other way. So it is that teaching that has turned us all into neurotic individuals. It's a fact. But you have to find answers here in this world, in this reality of the situation. This is the only reality. There is no other reality. So we have to function and find answers in this situation, in this reality. So looking for some meaning, some purpose, I don't see it. There may not be any meaning, any purpose, you see. So there must be something more. If that is all, what is it that we can do? This is all.
Then one thing is, instinctively, we have, perhaps we have a lot of similarities with the other species on Earth. In that, we try to avoid pain and seek pleasure at any cost.
And I think that we have a lot more to learn from the other species than we can offer anything to survive on this planet. See, whatever you see there is your own projection, the projection of your own ideations and mentations. That may not be the case. It is very convenient for us, you see, to use the example of animals whenever it is convenient. When some people talk to me, I say elephants have mate once in 7 years. You see, why the hell do we have to mate every hour on the hour? It has become possible for us to have sex at any time we want through the use of thought. You see, sex is turned by us into a pleasure moment. I'm not saying anything against a pleasure moment at all. But the fact of the matter is that through the help of thought, it has become possible for us to have sex at any time we want. And sex is not really the problem. You see, these jokers may talk of continence, celibacy, denial of sex, this, that, and the other. Or another set of jokers may talk of indulgence in sex. But we are not dealing with the problem of sex as such, you see. So what we are all here for is only to survive and to reproduce one likeness. Anything that culture has invented is irrelevant to the existence of life. So we are not ready to face the situation at all. So the misery is inevitable. There is no way you can avoid facing this situation.
As you have rightly pointed out, thought is the enemy of mankind.
Thought is the enemy of
mankind. But the question is, this has been thought about for quite some time, that thought is the enemy of mankind.
But yet, you see, all those people who are supposed to be in the know of things, the religious people, have given us the impression that through thought we can turn that into our brain.
What do you talk about this concept of nirvikalpa samadhi, where thoughtlessness is going on?
Assuming for a moment that there is such a thing as nirvikalpa samadhi, how are you going to put yourself into that state through thought? I want to know. You are trying to create a thoughtless state through thought. We can kid ourselves and tell ourselves and others that there are moments when you experience a thoughtless state. That's a great big joke he's telling himself and telling everybody, because he is describing that state, the thoughtless state. The thought was very much there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible for that man to describe the thoughtless state at all. That's what we were discussing, you know. The void, the emptiness, the non-dual state, the monistic state, they describe it in wonderful, beautiful, poetic, romantic language. Now, how can they do that, you see? There's a sales pitch on the part of those people.
No, many people have not described it. Like, for example, Ramana has said that I cannot explain in words the ultimate silence. You know, ultimate thing is silence. Mm-hmm. But the question is, even when they experience silence, it is not that they are telling in so many words. They say that so many minutes, as it is recorded by chronometer, they say that
the reading of the chronometer is yours.
That is it.
You are reading there. Whatever the chronometer has registered there, you are reading.
Right, sir.
So how can you say that is exactly the way the things are happening? And our interest is not basically to be in that state. We want that to solve our problems. We want enlightenment, if there is any such thing as, to help us to solve the problems. But we do not realize that thing is invented by us to solve these problems. It is that has created these problems. Even Ramana Maharshi threw this question at people, who am I? You know, who the hell you are, you know. That implies that, you see, there is some other I other than the I you know of. You know, I do not know of any I other than the first person singular pronoun, as far as I am concerned. The whole inquiry into that question is to find out that there is another I, that there is another self there with a big capital S, God knows what. The very suggestion that you have to go into yourself to find out the real I implies that there is some other I other than the I you know. What the problem is the verb am, you see, in the language, who am I? If the verb is absent, both are out. So it is the verb that has created the problem for us. It is as simple as that. Why he threw that question at the people is not my interest. And I walked out on him when he threw this kind of question. Finish. I did see him for an hour or 45 minutes. So that was a long, long time, 1939 or something. So he didn't impress me at all. And I said to myself, here is a monumental, unblinking arrogance of this bastard. I didn't use those words. My vocabulary was not as rich as it is today. So I walked out on him. Maybe the greatest saint of our time. So what? So the model is the problem for us all. See, the religious model we have placed before us, and everybody should fit into that model. See, become that model. So everyone is unique. The human body is the product of centuries. I don't like to use the word evolution. It's something, an extraordinary piece. See, as I see it, the nature, not that I have any special insight into the nature other than others, but it is trying to create a perfect species and not a perfect being, you know. So if something goes wrong somewhere, the whole thing is wiped out and it starts all over again. So nature is not using anything as a model, it is just creating. And then it's not as a model for the rest of the species, just creating and throwing it out and then starting all over again. Why should there be any purpose? Why should there be any meaning? Why are you interested in how the universe originated? We leave it to the scientists to speculate. Every 2 years, every 4 years, they come out with some kind of a theory, and their theories are as ridiculous and as absurd as the theories of the religious people have offered us. You see, it doesn't matter who created the universe, God created the universe, or the whole thing came out of dust and pebbles and hydrogen atoms. So what is the age of the universe? We leave it to them, and we give prestigious awards to them, Nobel Prizes, and this. Fine, see, that's all, but that does not in any way help us to solve the problem of living. That's all that I'm saying, you see. You know? So, age of the universe. They find some spots are somewhere at the end of the universe, and from 20 billion years you jump to 40 billion years, maybe it will be 60 billion years. Whether there is order in the universe or chaos in the universe, let them break their heads. See, they say that we see order. When we see order, we see chaos. And when we see chaos, there is order. Fine, you see. There is no order in life. All the time you are trying to create an order. And it is the demand to create that order in your lives is the one that is turning the whole thing into a chaos. And all our relationships become meaningless because we have the model of a harmonious living. You know? So we forget that it is that idea that there should be harmony here is the one that is destroying the harmony that is already there. Our concept of harmony, our idea of harmony, it is that idea that is creating all this mischief for us.
Your concept, what you said just now, that thought is the enemy of mankind. It is the thought which is making living very difficult today.
Yeah.
This itself put certain role models for everybody to look at. Like, for example, a buffalo. It's a thoughtless creature, and when we look at a buffalo...
I know it all depends upon what, how you define the word thought. You see, how you define the thought. Because we are all computers, whether you like it or not. See, an extraordinary computer here, and it is not thinking. There is no thinking there. Is what they have found recently about the memory there. It's, there is no recalling mechanism there in the brain. It's just like the word tank I have, the word finder I have. You press the word there and it says searching. If it is not there, data not formed. So the searching is not thinking. It's so mechanical that we are not ready to accept the fact that it is so mechanical. We have been brainwashed to believe for centuries that we are not just machines, that we are not robots. You know, I am very much interested in what they're going to do with this idea of putting thinking into these computers. That would be the most disastrous thing, and that would put an end to the usefulness of the computers. The moment you put this thinking mechanism into the computers, because they will be like us, you know, throwing out, you see, all the funny products of their thinking, or even to introduce the biological element into this thinking. They are extraordinary pieces. We are no different from that at all. Huh?
The thing is, as you have said that, you know, the animals, like the memory itself is missing for a buffalo.
No, the memory is not missing. See, the
search
the use of the memory to achieve a goal is absent in the animals. That's all that I'm saying. So that is the tragedy of mankind. It is the memory that has created the identity, and the constant use of memory to achieve goals that are totally unrelated to the function of living. That's all that I'm saying.
Like, for example, if you
happiness. Happiness, for example, you have moments of happiness and unhappiness. The demand to be happy always is really the problem, because we are constantly using the memory to be in a state of permanent happiness, which is impossible because this living organism has no interest in permanent happiness at all. After all, happiness is just a sensation, and its life is limited. Any attempt on our part with the use of memory to keep it last longer is very destructive. See, it is rejecting it, throwing it out, or absorbing it, and the attempt to keep it last longer is the cause of our unhappiness, you see. So we are not ready to settle for some moments of happiness and some moments of unhappiness. And it is there that all these religious people step in and tell us that there is something that you can do to be eternally happy, to be in a permanent state of happiness. And it is that is creating a problem there for us. So we are ready to settle for some moments of happiness and some moments of unhappiness. Just fine, that's all that is there, or pleasure and pain, see. So the demand for permanence is the cause of pain there, the cause of unhappiness there. There is no such thing as permanence at all. It's constantly changing. And our demand for permanence is the cause of human happiness, pain and tragedy. But I'm not saying anything against that at all, but it's just there. The memory is used by the human species to achieve goals. I agree that, you see, belief is also a part of the survival mechanism. Invention of God is part of the survival mechanism. Those who believed in God, those who do not believe in God. Whether God exists or not is irrelevant. That's not what we are concerned. A belief in a certain thing makes it easy for us to survive. But that in its own way is creating the opposites of it. You see? So the battle is inevitable. It's like trying to create peace in this world through war. We are not going to succeed that way. We may have shorter periods of peace and then we start all over again.
If there is randomness in the creation of this universe, if there is randomness in everything, why should there be summer only during March to, let's say, May?
No.
Why should there be summer only during March to May? It could be on some other day. And why should
I'm not with it. Say that again.
Like, for example, if there is randomness in the universe and everything, if there is no order at all whatsoever.
I'm not saying there is or there is no order. See, I have no way of finding out whether there is any order or randomness, or the whole thing is just a flu. So what if it is random? But all the other problems, the human problems are created by us. The social problems are created by us. The economic problems are created by us. So we are responsible. We are responsible for the
problem. What is created? Is there not a reversal of the process?
No, it is an idea. Just an idea. The whole thing is built on the foundation of that idea. That's all that I am saying. If there is poverty here in this world, it's because of the possessiveness of man. See, we have enough on for everybody to feed himself and without the help of technology, what they say is true. And everything we discover, the results of our discoveries, helps only a microscopic number of people, and it's not percolating to the level of the common man. It is inhuman. Forget about, you see, the oneness of life, the unity of life that we have preached for centuries. It is inhuman to see a fellow being starve. And I'm not saying that, what are you doing? I know you will ask me the question, what am I doing? I have not set myself up to save the people of mankind. Those are the jokers who say that we are here to solve the problem of starvation. Do you know who wants to discuss the problem of starvation with me? The fellow who has taken 14 course meal. He wants to sit and discuss with me the problem of starvation. It's for him to discuss. We don't deal with the problem of starvation. I have my own way of solving the problem of starvation, and that system has another way. Both of them end up there, backed by the nuclear weapons, to solve the problem of starvation. It's a joke. Yes, sir.
Just a while ago,
I said nothing.
About chemical changes.
Yes.
Changing. Which seem to have happened to you.
No, no, don't bring me into the picture. You see,
why do you say
it? That's what
is the use of changing?
That's what I say. If you are real, you are the one that is talking of changing the whole thing. I say that we have not succeeded so far because nothing has touched us so far. Yes. Take, for example, pleasure. Take for example pleasure. Pleasure is a hormone. If you accept that, the whole ethical culture collapses. Are you ready for that? We have to have certain, we say, social norms. Here, the cars move in the opposite direction, see, right side and left side. And you can't come here and say that I want to drive the way I do there in Holland. That is too ridiculous and too absurd. So these are all simple things, practical reasons we have to accept and stick to them. There is no point in trying to prove that you can do whatever you want to do. So if that is what you want, if there are thieving tendencies in you, if you want to correct the man and free that man from thieving tendencies, all this preaching, thou shalt not steal, has not touched anything there. If for reason, some reasons you want to free him from the thieving tendencies, the only way you can do is to deal with the hormones, you deal with the genes there. At the same time, there is a great danger. I am not saying that it is as easy as I am suggesting it, you see. When once you perfect the genetic rearrangement of things, you will hand it over. You can't trust all these scientists, you see. They are there, not for humanitarian reasons, for their Nobel Prizes. That's all that they are interested in. And the state will take over. It will be a lot easier. It forces us to do things.
Still, I don't understand about what kind of chemical changes you are talking.
If you are a chemistry there, nothing else is there. If for some reason you want to change the human being, I'm not interested in changing the human beings at all. You are interested in. You are fitting them into a model. So if that is what you want, all that you have done so far has failed and it is not going to end. If for any reason you want to change the man, this is the only way.
What will he look like? What will
he will look exactly the same way you look like.
As he is now?
Yes, he is certainly.
So,
the actions will be different. Are you really concerned about the world? You don't talk about the world to me.
I'm asking about
you. You are not interested in the world.
I'm asking about myself.
I am telling you, you are not interested in the world. You are only interested in changing yourself. You are here because you want to listen to what I am trying to put across. Use that to bring about a change in you. And what I am saying is that there is nothing there to be changed. There is nothing there to be transformed. That there is nothing there to be free from.
Then why did you talk about chemical changes?
If for some reason you want to change the human beings, into bed, not you, you don't give a damn. You are interested. You don't give a damn for your fellow being or for the world. You are not interested. But those who are interested in talking about this nonsense, I am telling them that's the only way. This you have not succeeded so far. And you want to live in hope that one day you will create a paradise on this planet just fine with me.
I'm not talking about
the world. What is it that you are trying to change yourself into?
I am not trying. Also.
What are you doing there? Why the hell you are listening to anything?
I am asking what you try to point out.
I am trying to point out there is nothing there to be changed. If for some reason you want to bring about a change in you, the only way to do it is through the drugs. That's all.
Why not through yoga and
meditation? The yoga will destroy more what is there. The meditation is destroying the chemistry of the body. The damage done by these meditations is far more disastrous than the drugs that the people are taking. One of these days, as he said, come out and show that meditation is evil and it destroys the chemical balance of the body. It's a war that is going on there. It's a battle that is going on there. And for some moments you may experience what you call peace, which is the peace between the two wars. The yoga system is forcing the flow of energy in quite a different way, the normal flow of the energy that is there in your body. If you really have practiced yoga, you will discover that it is exactly the opposite of what you are trying to do. You forget about yoga sutras, Patanjali yoga sutras. Let them make money, because there is a market for yoga there. Naturally, these people go and teach yoga. I think I said enough. Why, I'm not interested. Why do you talk? You are here. You are here. You have come all the way from Holland. I don't know why you are here. why you are listening to me? What is it that you want? What are you interested in? It's very simple. You want to change yourself into something else. You are not satisfied with whatever is there to bring about a change in you. Otherwise you won't listen. Your very listening is to use that to bring about a change.
Which is disturbance already.
Huh?
Which is disturbance already.
Sure. That's a battle. War.
So nobody is listening to anybody.
You are listening to yourself and not to me. There is listening. No art of listening. The listening is just noise. That's all. You will be surprised how this living organism is functioning. When you are saying something, I think you are saying things in English language. This listening mechanism that is there is not translating while the listening is going on. It is just noise. It is the computer that is there, the memory bank, the data bank that is there, that is translating in its own way and coming out with the answers. While you are listening, you cannot translate. The listener is the one who knows the language and then he is translating while he is listening. Like I have a word tank, 12 languages there are, translation. Small card, visitor's card size, 12 languages. It translates so quickly. And you are no different from that. The listener is the problem. You will be surprised. The listening, there is no translation while the listening is going on. The listener knows English. The listener...